Okay, are you there?
Yes, it's Evan.
Well, hello, this is Jeff Gagliosi, and you are on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today is just really one of the great songwriters of his generation. With his band, The Alarm, he's responsible for classics like 68 Guns, Rain in the Summertime, Strength, and many, many others. He's back with a new record called Sigma, and in the middle of a pretty huge summer tour with Modern English and Gene Loves Jezebel. So please welcome from The Alarm, Mike Peters. Mike, welcome.
Hey, great to be on board. Thank you for having me.
Right. Now, first off, you mentioned The Alarm has a brand new record out called Sigma, and it kind of fits into a larger project that goes back a couple of years. So talk a little bit about the whole project that ties together Blood Red, Viral Black, Eagles, and Sigma.
Yeah, it was an intense period of time for the Alarm family. I agree that's from leukemia, and my wife Jules has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and the music of Sigma, Eagles, Blood Red, Viral Black was created in that time frame. And that's the dynamic that informed the individual songs. And originally, the whole thing was conceived as a double album, as Blood Red, Viral Black. And we road tested it with our fans internally. And then when it came to release the album into the wider public domain, we just felt really, is the world got the attention span for a double album this time of life? And so we decided to split the records up into two single albums, one as Equals, and then a follow-up, a sequel of Sigma. And it meant that we could really keep the conversation about the music going over a longer period of time. So Equals was released in 2018 in June, and then exactly a year and one day later came Sigma, and the tour we're on now. And it's been a remarkable experience to be part of. See the growth and the awareness of the music taking place, fans getting hold of the album and spreading the word, and then we've been getting fantastic reviews, and even other bands like The Killers have picked up on our music through the new record and discovered our history, and then in the case of Brandon Flowers, played one of our songs, Rain in the Summertime, that you mentioned at the top of the show in Cardiff a few weeks ago. So it's been quite a roller coaster, and we find ourselves now on this huge American tour. Just played in Los Angeles to 7,500 people, and we're heading to Arizona now to continue the tour in Phoenix, and we've got over 28 shows to go, so it's going to be a great summer.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brandon Flowers and The Killers covering Rain in the Summertime, and you're one of the few writers where your songs are timeless and mean something to people even as generations go on. How does it feel for you to have a song you wrote so long ago still mean something to a current band like The Killers?
Yeah, well, it validates what you're trying to achieve when you set out writing a song, because to me, longevity was my goal as a musician and songwriter. It wasn't to necessarily, my aspiration was to have an impact on society the way my heroes have done, people like John Lennon or Joe Strummer and Mick Jones and David Bowie, Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, Willie Nile, you know, the great line of songwriters, and you know, Willie Nile, I think, is an amazing writer that afforded me a great opportunity in life to meet Willie and hearing Willie's music and being the first person on the planet to cover one guitar. That led me to playing with another of my heroes, Bruce Springsteen, with Willie, and whenever I meet Willie Nile, we're aspirational songwriters, and it's longevity that we crave and depth of connection with our audience and the people who listen to our music and cherish it and that's, you know, when you know, the long 32 years after the song was released, it's still being played and by The Killers, or you know, some of our music has recently found itself embedded into more younger youth culture by appearing in films and TV shows like Netflix 13 Reasons Why, and that connected our music to a younger audience again that wasn't necessarily weren't even born when it came out, but they can still relate to it. And I think that's what we were trying to write into our songs, is to make them, like you described them, timeless. And I think when you say timeless, I think sometimes there's, you mean, you know, we think of the timeless classics, but I think we're really aspiring to be timeless, so that the songs can be relevant at any decade, at any point in their life. We can live on beyond our time on the planet as well. And that's certainly what I try to do and try to do when I'm creating music.
Well, and again, and I think bringing it back to the new record, Depth still shows, you know, this project, you know, Equals and Sigma, bookended, you know, the first song on Equals and the last song on Sigma, is the amazing Two Rivers, which, for my money, I think is one of the best songs you've ever written. And, you know, Is there a satisfaction to know that this far in your career, you can still write, you know, songs of that quality that rank right up there with big hits years ago?
Yeah, I think it certainly, you know, it inspires you to keep going. when people say that and express kind words about your music. And because often, I think artists like myself, you know, who we're not stadium acts in that sense. And so our success comes over a longer period of time. It's not as instantly, recognized in the traditional sense of, you know, being number one in the charts, although Sigma has been the number one rock album in the UK a couple of weeks ago, which is amazing. I think again, referencing Willie Nile, people like us, we are inspiration and the reason we can get out of bed and get up the next day and carry on writing is when our songs have made that kind of connection with somebody and they say those kind of, you know, they relate how a piece of music has worked in their life. And we're seeing that with this album in particular. Songs like Psalm have made a big connection already with a lot of people, and we're finding that out as we go around playing live, and that's become a really central part of the show. Other songs, and, you know, Two Rivers, obviously, is because it can be formed in two, you know, just on a piano, and it's a full-blown Barbara O'Reilly type rocker at the other end of the scale. So we're excited to have that connection. I think we are older songs, things like 68 Guns and Rescue Me, I think they're pleased to see these new songs come along and give them a breath of fresh air and a new life as well. Because it's hearing songs like Two Rivers in context with your history that I think that's what's exciting for the fans who've stood with us a long time. Because then when we play Two Rivers live, we play the version musically that's on Equals, but I think the lyrics that are
the harder version.
Yeah, but I sing the lyrics from Sigma over the top, and we've probably spoken them out a little bit here and there. it's bringing that connection full circle, and the references in the softer version and the reprieve version take me back to when they filled in, and also on the record, Dave Sharp, original guitarist, is playing on Equals, which allows for a certain amount of closure, if you like, for some of our fans to see the original members playing with Smiley and James and Jules and me here at the Alarm. It brings everything together in a very positive manner.
Okay, and you mentioned that Dave is played on one of the songs on Equals. How did he get back into the fold with the band?
Well, Dave has been playing with the Alarm for a number of years now in a special guest capacity. He's been touring with us and playing his new music that he's developing for his new record. And he's jumped up on stage and the encores and played at the gathering with us. And we were going into the studio to record Equals. So really, that was the song that came, that was almost the last piece of music recorded for the album. And it was there to really bring the two records together as a whole. And I said to Dave, do you fancy coming into the studio? And he said, yeah, straight away. And he arrived with his guitars, plugged in and laid down a great track. And it was great to have him in the studio with us. And we all get on fantastically well. The Alarm in the last years has really, the family's really come together. And because we're the sort of band that you can go away, but you never leave. Everyone's sort of part of the family, whether they like it or not. we've all discovered that. And I think if we can help each other out and make things, harmonious with the fans and between ourselves, life's better. And, we've been able to sort of come round that circle where we all broke up, but we've all lived long enough to be able to bury the hatchet on certain things and learn to laugh at them and see them as just part of life, the consequences of life and living. And so everyone gets on well. In fact, we'll be in San Francisco in a couple of days and Nigel Lauro, drummer, is going to come up and play a song with us.
Oh,
and
that's great.
As he did last year and the year before that. So it's all pretty cool. And, Dave and I have been recording together recently on trying to find a blend of acoustic guitars and voices that can work on a project in the future. So, yeah, it's ongoing.
That's fantastic. And the fans definitely love seeing, the members from those classic periods come.
Yeah, absolutely. They like the interaction and it validates what we've always sung about and made connections with. And it's always great to see them. And Dave gets on great with Smiley and James, and they've got long histories as well. James once took Dave home from the Marquee in 1982 when he was too drunk to get home, shall we say. And they became friends through that, so it's interesting.
That's very cool. And now, you have some really cool sort of enhancements around this tour. There's the YouTube playlist from each of the bands. There's your Entourage podcast. How did those kinds of ideas come about?
I think, well, it's the year we live in now, and I think as we've had to learn, and we have learned, and we've benefited from tackling the social media opportunities that are afforded to all artists these days. We embraced the internet in 1992 as the Alarm, and that's when we set up on our website, and it was almost an archive then, rather than a broadcasting network like it is now. And as the things have developed, we've signed up to everything. I just see it as an arm of our creativity. I think it allows us for people to see how much detail we apply to the creative process and having podcasts and YouTube playlists and covering other people's songs in that format and not having to necessarily release them into the wider public domain. It allows your creativity a voice and it allows you to work in ways that often the audience don't always see. And so it allows us to share what we're doing on a wider scale. We enjoy doing it. We all love getting up on the tour bus and writing things up, doing the tour diaries for Spotify, or seeing Gareth, who's our MC on the tour, putting the podcast together, and Jules doing all the videoing and the vlogging. And I think the fans are appreciating it. When they come home from work now, I think we're their soap opera.
And along those lines, too, you've really added a visual component, with some long-form videos and the White Count documentary.
Yeah,
I think it really, gives, like, as you said, it gives also kind of that peek behind the music, so you really know exactly, you know, what you guys were doing as those songs were created. It's very cool to see.
Yeah, and look, we it's what we've always strived for. When the band started out life, it was in the 80s. I think it's one of the things that sort of got in the way of our friendships and relationships, is that all our energy was you pour it all into these set of songs, and then you have to get past your A&R man before you could actually record them. And that's where a lot of source of a lot of conflict would arise, because sometimes you might not be at one with your A&R man or your artistic director, manager, you know, and they'd say, oh, there's no hit there. And you say, well, I'm not trying to write a hit. I'm trying to make a great album here. And sometimes that could create tensions that didn't needed to be there. And so now we have got the opportunity, when we finished the record, we can put it out to, you know, we can put it out to our fans only, or we can release it around the world on all the streaming services. And we are, The Alarm, control that now, the where and the when and the how. That's in our, that destiny of our music being delivered to our audiences is in our own hands now. And that, a lot of that, it's a line from Spider-Man, you know, great bulk responsibility, you know. Great power of requires great
responsibility.
That's it. It does. And so that's, you know, again, I'm pride myself on being pretty responsible towards my music, because when the Clash sang about complete control, I don't know if they could have handled it if they actually got complete control over their music, because they were pretty anarchic and out of control themselves. And whereas to be in control of your music requires diligence, it requires sobriety, and it requires a work rate and an ethic that is now it. With all the opportunities that you can plug into, it's a massive demand. But it's what I've always lived for, you know, to make music every day and then to be able to sit around and talk about it with people and debate it and where we're going and what we're going to do next. It's a real privilege and an honour. So everything you see around the band, the films, the podcasting, taking an MC out on the road to carry the social media conversations onto the stage, it's what we're all about now. We are immersed in this thing called The Alarm and the music of it, and we want our fans to be engaged with us along the way.
And you know, as important as that music has been to you and to your fans, you've done even more to help those in need. Talk a little bit about the Love, Hope and Strength Foundation.
Yeah, well, we've been running it a long time now. We started in 2007, and our original mission was really to help people who didn't have access to the kind of treatments and the medicines that were keeping myself alive. And one of our co-founders, James Chippendale, who was a bone marrow transplant recipient and transplant survivor. And so we came to a point where we could do donor drives at concerts and register people to the BOMA registry, and we saved a lot of lives through that. And, you know, we've been running a long time now. And so there's new challenges out there for us to face. You know, the medicines have got better and better every year, and the procedures to save people's lives are becoming more effective. And so we're going to Iceland in October, trekking there to raise funds to support our missions around the world. I was recently honoured with an MBE on behalf of our charity work through Love, Hope, Strength, and which has opened up a lot of doors for us. And so, yeah, our energy for the charity is undiminished as well. But there are challenges to be faced when we've been set up as an organisation for 12 years, and because of the advances in medicine, it's less need for some of our message in certain areas and more need for it in others. And so we're constantly having to review how we approach the charity, and is excited to be part of and seeing it growing and new people coming into the fold who've got great vision for what we do as well. And we're just at the point now where we're probably reenacting the missions on a global scale, because our bone marrow registry took over our lives for a number of years and became huge. And we were working with all these bands across the USA and the UK, and some of our missions in other parts of the world became stretched, if you like. You know, we're a long way from Nepal and Africa, and so we're looking at how we can build on that again now, and we're looking at other places where we can go and take our musical life-saving message, and starting with Iceland, and then we'll see where we go in the coming years. But we've got plans to go to some great places in the future, and hopefully improve cancer services for families who are affected by the illness, and communities in other parts of the world that don't have what we have here in the West, and they haven't got the infrastructure to be able to take advantage of the breakthroughs that science has made in keeping people like me alive. For instance, I used to be in hospital every 3 weeks for maintenance treatment, chemotherapies, but now, since I got placed on a trial drug, I carry it around with me, and I think one of the greatest signs I can see is in the bottle of medicine that I carry around me. When I first started taking it, the big yellow warning label was said oral chemotherapy on it, and now the warning label is still in yellow, but it now says anti-cancer drugs. And I think that's an amazing thing that we're talking about. We've got drugs in the human circle now that are called anti-cancer to stop it coming. And I think that's an incredible thing, because we couldn't stop it a number of years ago. If you got cancer, it was coming whether you liked it or not. But now there's drugs that will stop it coming. And I think that's incredible. And I think the face of and the way cancer is viewed will change in the coming years as more and more people start to take advantage of anti-cancer drugs. Anti-cancer treatments can be prescribed medicine that will stop it affecting their lives and allowing them to live out their dreams and live their life course as they originally planned it when they dreamt it all up. So it's a good time to be alive.
It is, and just the work you've done has been amazing, and just, you know, on behalf of everyone who's ever had that go through their family, you know, I thank you for time and your efforts and, you know, dedication to this.
I'll accept that on behalf of the army of volunteers who do most of the work and are out there even now spreading the goodwill and helping people stay alive. So thank you.
And now, like I said, you still have quite a ways to go on this tour. You'd be working your way out here to the East Coast as well. The record is out, Sigma, again, number one rock record in the UK, and hopefully catching on some steam here in the US as you go on the tour. Do you know yet what the future holds for the Alarm, or is it, you know, let's see what happens after this run?
I know what the future holds for the Alarm. It goes very far into the future.
Hopefully, yes.
If you look on our website, there's even a save the date for something that's going to be happening in 2021. I think now as well, with having a history like we have in the Alarm, I think my role as the person who's been at every significant point of Alarm history that has ever been, is my job is to manage that so that the creativity can happen, and also we can respect the historical high points of our career as well. So it's a little bit of a balancing act. The last few years have been balancing 30th anniversary events, reissues of albums, and manage them in such a way that we can also bring out new albums like Equals and Sigma alongside the reissues of Strength, Declaration, Eponymous that have just happened, without anything being so that the history doesn't overshadow the future and the future doesn't disrespect or diminish what's happened in the history of the band. So I think I have to really stay on top of the diary to make sure the windows of creativity are open, and also that the history and the work that everyone who's been a part of the Alarm has contributed to that history is respected and highlighted accordingly. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting things coming for Alarm fans in the future, very much so.
And we look forward to it, and please keep in touch. Anytime the Alarm has anything new coming out, we'll let me know. We'll get it out there to as many people as possible.
Fantastic.
And I encourage everyone to go online, check out the Alarm's website for access to their YouTube playlist for this tour, their podcast, long-form videos. The new record Sigma is out everywhere and available to stream everywhere. It really is a great record that fits, you know, right in with the classics that the Alarm has put out. So, Mike, thank you very much. Best of luck on the rest of the tour, and hopefully we can catch you as you get out to the East Coast.
Brilliant. Look forward to it. Can't wait. Bring on the East Coast.
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed. Cheers now. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.